It's possible to be very successful in Hollywood without ever being invited to the Oscars, or any award ceremony for that matter.
Screenwriters Robert Ben Gurant and Thomas Lennon fall into this category, and they don't mind at all, because their movies have made an astonishing amount of money. Now, you might know them as the stars and creators of Comedy Central's police parody Reno 911.
As screenwriters, the pair have churned out big hits like Night at the Museum and also some big flops. Remember Taxi in 2004 with Jimmy Fallon? Chances are no. Now, Ben and Tom, as they're known, are out with a how-to book, Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, How We Made $1 Billion at the Box Office and You Can Do. Its chapters include rules like never take longer than 15 minutes to pitch a movie. And when they came into our studios here at NPR West, they certainly did talk fast. Their words tumbled over each other as the pair recalled one of their earliest pitches. It seems they were meeting with an executive at Universal, the studio located right next to its famous theme park.
Our first meeting in Los Angeles, we made a terrible mistake, which is we had a little bit of extra time and we were staying on the Universal lot and found a secret entrance into Universal Studios. We went on the Jurassic Park ride, didn't know it was a Flume ride, and we were in black suits.
Yes.
We came off of the ride
soaking wet. And so we went
and then
into...
we walked into our first pitch with that, you know that sound your shoes make just very lightly, you're just a little bit moist, that kind
squish,
of
squish, squish, squish.
That was us.
They must have thought, what in the world?
And then the movie we were pitching was that Earth had run out of hops and we were sending a team to get beer.
They're making an intergalactic beer run.
Yes,
beer
runners. Intergalactic beer run was, yeah. Was the idea of the movie. So yeah. Here are these two wet guys in suits. I have no idea how we're still here.
One of the things that makes the book so funny is you point out on a regular basis how much your movies have made.
Mm.
Which is?
Renee, I believe as the printing of the book, $1.4 billion.
And change.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And change. And that's not DVDs.
No, no.
That's not like on
that's
TV.
People going
that's box
to
office.
The movie.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now,
yeah.
At some point, you have to understand, we frequently, I go to the grocery store. And you know those movies that they sell at the grocery store?
Mm.
And you just think, oh, God, who wrote this? I've seen, at times, two of our movies next to each other at the grocery store.
Between
in the checkout
the
lane.
Inquirer and the Gum.
Next to Mints.
Yeah.
We're writing movies that people buy without thinking about it.
So they're like, oh, yeah, I could use some Altoids and
yeah.
This movie with the talking bear.
That's some chapstick and, yeah, maybe that Jimmy Fallon vehicle that I heard wasn't that bad.
But that wouldn't have been... Taxi, would it?
Yes.
With Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah. In fact, there's a chapter about Taxi in the book because, you know, you don't know when you're working on something that everyone's going to hate it
oh,
later.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Every movie, of course, goes through a testing process where they take it usually either to Long Beach, California, Northridge, or the Block at Orange, which are three giant malls.
Orange County.
Exactly.
Orange.
And they show it to an audience. And Taxi... People went bananas
people
for
loved
it. They
it.
Loved
people
it.
People loved it.
So we actually signed a contract to write Taxi 2.
So yeah. There's going to be a sequel, absolutely.
Of course.
For this hit movie, soon-to-be-hit movie.
Soon-to-be-hit movie, yeah.
Here's what we, and then suddenly, you know, before a tsunami happens, the tide goes way out to sea.
Yeah.
And in Hollywood, you can feel that happening.
Yeah.
When you have a movie that everyone hates.
The Monday before the Friday it comes out,
it
you can
so
sort of...
quiet.
Everything goes quiet.
Like, what happened?
And everybody
so
gets nervous. Yeah.
And then...
who's everybody?
The other producers.
Telltale
yeah.
signs that your movie's going to go bad is one is the producer of the movie flees the country. Actually, a brilliant man who produced that film and a good friend of ours, Robert Simons, called us as he was leaving for his plane to get out of the country. He said, guys... Sometimes when you have a movie coming out like this, you're just going to be radioactive for a little while. So it's best just to lay low.
And we were really new to the studio system then. And so you think, okay, we're never, ever going to work
ever.
Again.
This is it.
And that's part of – we have another chapter about being fired gracefully and walking off of a failure gracefully.
Yes.
And you have to be willing to come right back in the next day mm-hmm. and – pitch something else. And you also have to be really nice to everybody. Because
by our count, there's really only about 75 or 80 influential people in Hollywood. And all they're doing is a musical chairs rotation all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are any number of tips that you give, general truths of making a success of it in Hollywood. Mm. One of them is don't be afraid to keep making the same movie over and over again. But not really.
But not really.
But not really.
So
no,
what people need to embrace and accept if you're going to be a writer in Hollywood is that every single movie has the exact same structure. Exactly. Whether
exactly.
it's Die Hard or Night at the Museum. Die Hard, the first 10 pages, you're introducing all of the facts. You're meeting the guy. You're getting him to the building. You get him stuck in the building. He's stuck in the building by terrorists. Night at the Museum, you meet a guy. He's having trouble with his marriage. And you get him stuck in a museum by the fact that he can't leave his kid and let his kid down and be unemployed
again. Seems like this guy's in over his head in a situation exactly like Die Hard.
It's a dinosaur instead of a terrorist. Yeah. But the structure is exactly the same. And at the end, Larry Daly of Night at the Museum punches Dick Van Dyke off of a stagecoach instead of Die Hard, John McClane punching Hans Gruber off of a building. They're not similar. They're exactly the same. And if you pick Casablanca or The Matrix and turn to page 10, that's when he either gets the letters of transit from
Peter Lorre,
or that's when Trinity tells him, there is a matrix and you're inside it and you need to come with this or you're going to die. Yep. But the problem that a lot of young screenwriters have, and by that I mean baristas at Starbucks, is that they're struggling because they think formula is a bad thing. Word.
It's really not.
I think the writer is God is something that they kind of imply when they teach you screenwriting, and that's the opposite of the truth. The writer is a doormat.
No.
And I would say that for me a very inspirational way to learn that is if you buy the Blu-ray of Casablanca, there's a behind the scenes where they interview the teams of writers, and there are teams of writers who wrote Casablanca. And so that movie was theoretically a hot mess. They were rewriting it while they were shooting. Jack Warner fired tons and tons of people, and it's brilliant. Movies are a team effort. Like that's movies. We're not gazing out the window at the moor writing poetry. Mm-hmm. You're working for a living.
But by the way, you can do that once you've written some hit movies.
Oh yeah,
you can get a place on the moor. You can. It's fantastic. You can
and
get
that's
a
when you
hounds.
Should write your poetry.
A castle. A castle. Mm-hmm.
Get a castle and write poetry. It's great.
Screenwriters Robert Ben Gurant and Thomas Lennon. Their new book is called Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, How We Made $1 Billion at the Box Office, and you can too. Thank you both very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.